page 869, John 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one who say who was blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for his fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
Well, thank you. Please keep your Bibles open as we continue our series on John's Gospel. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus can cause our eyes to see, and we pray that will be true of us this morning. Help us to see that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who came to do the works of the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I love a good commercial, and some of the best are made by Specsavers. So in the latest commercial, there's an auctioneer, and he's blind as a bat. A guy puts up his hand at the auction for $1.36 million, which is quickly followed by a woman at $1.37 million. Then he calls for $1.4 million, and he waits for someone to put up their hand to purchase the property, but everyone's shaking their heads, they're out. But he keeps calling for $1.4 million, and it appears that there's a person right at the back of the crowd who's put up his hand to win the auction. The crowd turns to see who that man is, and as the auctioneer calls it, going once, going twice, sold! And when the camera pans to the winner of the bid, it wasn't a person at all. It was a picture of a plumber on the side of a van. The auctioneer thought he could see, but he was blind as a bat. He should have gone to Specsavers. There's another one at a volleyball match. A volleyballer jumps into the air as though he's about to spike the ball. He thinks it's a ball, but it's not a ball. It's a bird, a seagull. Everyone's shocked, but not him. He goes on and dances and celebrates, thinking he's just scored the winning point of the match. The volleyballer thought he could see, but he was blind as a bat. He should have gone to Specsavers. In today's passage, the Pharisees think that they can see, but they can't. The Pharisees are blind as a bat. They should have come to Jesus so that they can see. But they don't, even though they've had so many opportunities, given every opportunity to do so over the last couple of chapters. They won't. They refuse to come to Jesus to see. Jesus has told them, I'm the bread of life, eat my flesh and have life, but they refuse to come to Jesus. Jesus has told them, I'm living water, drink from me and have life, but they haven't come to Jesus. Jesus has told them, I'm the light of the world, believe in me and have eternal life, but they refuse to come to Jesus. Even though God is Jesus' witness, as we saw in a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Son of God who's come from God to do the works of God. From turning water into wine, to healing the Roman official's son, from feeding the thousands and walking on water, Jesus does what God alone can do. For he is God who has come from God to do the works of God. And in today's passage, we see Jesus perform his fifth sign, the fifth sign in John's Gospel. There's a man born blind and Jesus heals him. Once again, Jesus does what only God can do. The miracles are signs, pointing the crowds, pointing the Pharisees, pointing us to the fact that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Son of God who has come from God to do the works of God. And now you might be wondering, well, if the miracles that Jesus performed, the signs that he did, were so clear and so transparent, so undeniable, then why doesn't everyone believe in Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us why in today's passage. Now, the situation is given to us in verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. The disciples also see this blind man, and they ask Jesus about this blindness. Why is he blind? Verse 2, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, as Jews, Jesus' disciples were steeped in theology. They knew about Adam and Eve and the fall. They understood that sin is a consequence of rebellion against God. That sin leads not just to death, but also the reason for suffering in our world. And so for the disciples, maybe we're watching another commercial on YouTube. Oh, it's the Zoom. Oh, okay, no worries. And so for the disciples, the only explanation of this man's suffering is because of sin. Whether it's his own sins or the sins of his parents. And so we get that too, don't we? For us who are Christians, who understand the fall, who understand sin and suffering, we understand that our rebellion against God has led to sin and death, suffering in our lives. And so if you embezzle money from your boss and steal from the till, you might get caught and face criminal charges. You'll suffer because of your sins. Or if your parents abused alcohol as you were growing up, you might have suffered in various ways because of their sins. We suffer because of our own sins. We suffer because of the sins of our parents. We suffer because of the sins of others. In fact, the Bible even talks about how we might get sick. And when we're sick, it could actually be because we've sinned. And so James chapter 5 speaks of that. That you should be prayed upon so that you might be healed as you confess your sins. And so when we get sick, when we suffer in various ways, we should ask ourselves, am I suffering because of my sin? Am I sick because I need to repent of some sin? Years ago, a person I know was suffering from chronic shoulder pain. She didn't always have this pain, but she noticed that it developed when she began to have ill feelings about someone. It was, in her words, unrighteous anger. She had an unforgiving spirit towards someone who didn't hurt her directly, but indirectly hurt her. And so she was filled with hatred and anger towards this person. It was unjustified. When she came to realize her sin towards this man, she did the right thing. She confessed her sin. She actually asked him for forgiveness. And he forgave her. And as soon as that happened, her shoulder pain left her, miraculously. And she's never had it again. And so, friends, if you're suffering in one way or other this morning, it's not without warrant to ask yourself, am I suffering because I have sinned? Am I sick because I need to repent of some sin? And maybe the answer is that it is because of a sin. But it may also be for another reason, as we'll see in today's passage. Because the reason we suffer might not be caused by something like sin, but it may be purposed by God for something, such as his glory. As it is with the man who was born blind in today's passage. You see, the disciples want an explanation for the man's blindness. They're concerned about the cause of his suffering. What caused his suffering? Was it his parents' sin or his sin that he was born blind? What caused his suffering? But Jesus says to them, you're actually using the wrong category. The answer doesn't lie in the cause, but in the purpose. Not what's the cause of the blindness, but what's the purpose of the blindness. And so what's the purpose of the blindness? Well, Jesus explains that it is because he has come to do the works of God. Verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You see, the explanation for the man's blindness wasn't in the past, but in the future. Wasn't in the cause, but in the purpose. There's a divine reason, eternal plan, as it was, so that Jesus could do the works in him. Now, I want to pause here for a second, because you might identify yourself with the disciples here. You may be a believer, and Jesus is your Savior. But you have questions, especially when it comes to suffering. And so I want to encourage you to do what the disciples did and ask the question. It's okay not to have all the answers like the disciples, just ask. It's okay not to have all the categories like the disciples, just learn. It's okay not to. It's okay to have doubt and have questions, just search the scriptures and find out. Especially when it comes to suffering. This man was born blind. He's never seen the light of day. He's never experienced the beauty of the sunrise nor the colors of the rainbow. He doesn't know the splendor of the temple or even what he looks like. But as we'll see, there was very good reason why he suffered. It was so that Jesus can do the works of God in his life. And so if you're suffering and your children are suffering, for whatever reason, don't be quick to blame yourself or them, whether it was a bad decision or due to poor timing, whether it was an unwise decision or a foolish act. You might be suffering because of those things, but you might also be suffering because of another reason. There might be another reason, for there is no child, no suffering outside of God's purposes, as we see in this man's life. Well, Jesus says he's come to do the work of God, and the work of God will be displayed in this man's life. And so now he goes and does the work of God. He heals the blind man because he is the light of the world. So verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now notice here that we're actually told by John the Apostle that the word Siloam means sent. Now when he explains something, it should be a trigger for us. There's a reason why he's telling us. Because throughout the gospel, who is the sent one? The sent one is Jesus. Time and time again, Jesus says that he's been sent by God the Father. He's the sent one. You see, the man was healed not because the mud had special properties or the water in Siloam has miraculous healing powers, but it was because Jesus is the Son of God who was sent by God to do the works of God. The man was healed because of Jesus. But the story doesn't end there, because when Jesus does the work of God, it's not an end in itself. It's a call for response. With the miracle, with the sign, will you now worship Jesus as God? Or will you remain hostile to Jesus as God? And what we'll see in today's passage is both responses. As the story unfolds, we see that the Pharisees dig deeper and deeper in their refusal to believe in Jesus. They will remain in blindness, in darkness. But as we'll see with the man born blind, he will increasingly grow in his understanding of who Jesus is and eventually bend his knee in worship of the Son of God. Now, as you can imagine, a lot of people knew of this man. He's been a beggar most of his life. No one expected that he'd walk around the streets of Jerusalem without a mobility stick and a skip in his step. And so when his neighbors see him, they recognize him, but others are more skeptical and think that he's just a lookalike. But he tells them in no uncertain words in verse 9, No, it's me. I'm really that blind man. I'm really that beggar. I was blind, but now I can see. And he goes on to tell them how he came to see from verse 11. The man they call Jesus. You see, at this point, this man has never seen Jesus because he's been blind. He's only heard of Jesus. And so the man they call Jesus made some mud and put on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and then I could see. You see, at this point, he has no clue who Jesus is. Who is this miracle worker that has done the impossible, who has done what only God can do? Well, the neighbors don't know what to make of it. And so they take him to the Pharisees to make sense of it all in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. You see, if you have a question about EVs, you can go and chat to Ricky. He knows all about it. It's his business. If you have a question about the MCG, you can talk to David Ashton. Because he's a tour guide there. He knows everything about it. And if you were a first century Jew, and you have a question about miracles and signs, about healings, about the laws and the prophets, you go see the Pharisees. They're the experts. They're the ones with the PhDs on the scriptures. They're devoted their lives to the laws of Moses. They know the scriptures like the back of their hand. And so when they take the blind man, who was once blind, to the Pharisees, instead of recalling Psalm 146 verse 8 and remembering that in the entire Old Testament, the only person who can ever give sight to the blind is God, the Pharisees are so fixated on keeping the letter of the law that they can't get past the fact that the man was healed on a Sabbath. So verse 14, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Now, instead of going to Isaiah 35 and getting excited that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messiah that is to come, who will open the eyes of the blind, the Pharisees come to the opposite conclusion. This isn't the Messiah. He's not even from God. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Now, the Pharisees are wrong on two fronts. They're wrong because they don't recognize Jesus as the Son of God who has come to do the works of God, because that's who Jesus is and what he's done. But they also get the Sabbath wrong. You see, God doesn't have a problem with healing on the Sabbath. We've already covered that in John chapter 5. Neither does he have a problem with using mud on the Sabbath. But these Jews do. The Pharisees do. Because according to the Talmud, which isn't the Bible, but it's their Jewish law book, their commentary, their explanation of the laws, in the Talmud it lists 39 things you can't do on the Sabbath. You can't, say for example, carry things or burn things, write things or cook things. And the 20th thing on the list is kneading. That is, on the Sabbath, you can't combine some powder and liquid and put it together. And so that means you can't get flour and you can't get water and mix it together and make dough. At the same time, you can't grab dirt and water and make mud. The word's the same. It's not allowed. According to Jewish law, but not according to God's word. And so because Jesus made mud, according to their law, he's worked. He's broken the Sabbath. But according to God's law, he hasn't. And so now the Pharisee says, well, you're a lawbreaker, you're a sinner. Therefore, you can't be from God. You see, Jesus didn't have to actually create this mud, did he? He could have said the word, see. And the man could have seen right at that moment. He has that power. But I think Jesus deliberately used mud because he wants to make a point. He wants to help us see that if you are so fixated on being right, you'll never see Jesus right. They think they obey the law of God. They believe they love God, but they don't. They're fixated on themselves and not on the truth. They're blind as a bat. And since it leads to confusion and division amongst their ranks, they call for the man's parents to see if this guy was actually truly blind to begin with. So they try to dismiss the whole case if they can prove that this man wasn't even blind to begin with. No miracle occurred. And so case closed. And so they bring in the parents come in and they confirm, yes, that's our son. He was born blind. I mean, everyone knew that. Now the parents have confirmed it. The evidence is so overwhelming that this man was born blind, but now he sees. This Jesus who healed the man has done what only God can do. He has given sight to the blind. But when the Pharisees interrogate the man again from verse 24, they've already made up their minds. They're right, everyone else is wrong. They've already made up their minds about Jesus. In the strongest possible words, they say that Jesus is a sinner. Verse 24, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." This is akin to Ricky looking at a Tesla and saying, "That is a boat." But everyone else is saying, no, that's an EV. Or like you go to the MCG and David Ashton says, this is the housing estate. But everyone's like, no, that's where we play footy and play cricket. You see, Ricky and Dave would never do that. Yet the Pharisees will, because they refuse to see. They're blind as a bat. Even though they're the experts of the law, even though they're meant to be the ones looking out for the Messiah, to be able to recognize the Messiah, they can't see him. They can't see him because they refuse to see him. They've already made up their minds about him. He's a sinner. They're blind as a bat. But not so the blind man who can now see. This is what he said in verse 25. Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. That is, I'm not the expert in the law. You're the expert in the law. I don't know what the ins and outs of the Sabbath law is, whether he sinned by healing me or not. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. Verse 25, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. You see, the proof is in the pudding. Your interpretation of God's law could be wrong, but the fact that I was blind and now I can see can't be wrong. The truth is so black and white, there's no two ways about it. You can't deny it, even if you tried. The man born blind is living proof, is hard evidence that Jesus has done the works of God because he has come from God, because he is the Son of God. He's made the blind see. He's fulfilled Isaiah 35. He's the God in Psalm 146. And the longer the man's interrogated, the Pharisees become increasingly hostile to Jesus, while the man who was born blind increasingly becomes convinced that Jesus is God. And so when the Pharisees admit their ignorance, that they don't even know where Jesus comes from in verse 29, the man shakes his head at them. Verse 30, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't even know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. That is, you're meant to be the experts. You're meant to have all the answers. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they reply, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. The prestigious religious leaders are blind as a bat. And the blind man can now see so clearly and takes them to school. He clearly, logically pieces together all the facts of this situation. God doesn't listen to sinners. God listens to the godly person. Therefore, Jesus is a godly person who has done what only God can do. And the climax of the story is finally found in these last few verses in the passage. When Jesus hears that the man was thrown out like a shepherd in search of his sheep, as we'll see on Good Friday, Jesus finds him in verse 35 and asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. You see, this is the first encounter that the man has with Jesus with his eyes open. He sees Jesus for the first time, and Jesus says, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and worshipped him. The man was blind, and now he sees not only the full spectrum of the rainbow, but the immense beauty of the Son of Man. What began as a miracle of healing physical blindness became a picture of healing spiritual blindness. Verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Now when Jesus said this, the Pharisees were there. They can't deny the man born blind was now able to see. They can't deny that the man born blind has come to believe in Jesus as the Son of Man, the promised Messiah, and worships him as God himself. Yet the Pharisees refused to accept the sign and believe in Jesus, because they think they know better. They have the law. They are disciples of Moses, they say. They think they're more righteous and holy and sinless. Not just more holy and righteous than the man born blind, but even Jesus himself. And so because they think they can spiritually see and refuse to believe in Jesus, they might be able to see physically, but they can't see spiritually. They're the ones steeped in sin. They will remain guilty of their sins. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now you claim you can see, your guilt remains." You see, Jesus could perform a miracle today. But if you've made up your mind about Jesus and refuse to see him as he reveals himself, like the Pharisees has done in today's passage, then no matter what Jesus does, you'll never see him as he truly is. You've made up your mind. No matter the evidence of the miracle, no matter the significance of the sign, you won't believe in Jesus. The problem isn't with Jesus and his signs, you see. The problem is with us and our spiritual blindness. And so we must ask, "Open our eyes, Lord, so that we might see and believe." You see, if you were blind, I'm sure you would want to see. I'm sure the man born blind wanted to be able to see his entire life. And so Jesus made it happen. And it's the same with spiritual blindness. If you refuse to see, like the Pharisees, then you'll never see. But if spiritually you want to see Jesus, that he is indeed God, then ask and he may open your blind eyes too. Someone made this social media post a little while ago. It's a picture of a car that's crashed into a Specsavers shopfront in England. And it says, "Every British person is going to think the exact same thing when they see this image. I can almost guarantee it." And what would that be? What would everyone be thinking? Should have gone to Specsavers. If you're blind as a bat, there's no point pretending you can see when you can't see. There's no shame in saying you need help. Go to Specsavers, get your eyes tested, get a new pair of glasses. And in a similar way, if you're spiritually blind as a bat, and you're wandering this world without clarity, without direction, without hope, you're walking through life blind as a bat. Don't be like the Pharisees. Be like the man born blind. Come to Jesus. For he'll open your blind eyes so that you can see him in all his glory. Come to Jesus. For the work of God that Jesus ultimately came to do was to die on the cross for you and me. So that we can say with the blind man, "I was once blind, but now I see. I didn't know I was sinful, but now I see that Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. I didn't know I needed saving, but now I see that only Jesus can die in my place. I didn't know I have a reason to live, but now I see that Jesus has given me a reason to live for him. I didn't have hope in this world, but now I see that Jesus has given me hope in the resurrection." So friends, come to Jesus and have your eyes restored, that you may see that he is the Son of God who has come from God the Father to do the works of God.